Can I welcome you along to our service here this evening in Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church? We thank you for taking time to tune in, and we trust that as you hear the Word of God, that you will hear the Lord speaking even to your heart. At this stage, we're going to call upon the Walker girls to come and to minister to us in song.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone
along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world, it is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me.
And things of earth that caused my heart to tremble, remembered there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day until the day God calls me home.
This weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife.
The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. It is destined for the skies.
But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me.
Until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home.
We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the Gospel of John and to the opening chapter, John's Gospel, the chapter 1. In this chapter, we find the Lord calling his first disciples. Hearing the call of God, Andrew immediately became burdened for his own brother. And bringing Simon Peter to the Saviour, we then read in the verse 43, John's Gospel, the chapter 1, and the verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. In the New Testament, the name Philip occurs some 38 times, meaning warlike or lover of horses. It is ascribed to four different individuals, as well as Philip, the brother of Herod, and Philip Herod II. We read in the Acts of the Apostles of Philip the Evangelist. And now in these verses, we are introduced to Philip, who became one of the disciples. In verse 45, this Philip, approaching Nathanael, he said concerning the Saviour, "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." And from these words, we find that he was familiar with the scriptures of the Old Testament. He knew the writings of the prophets. More than that, he was a man who kept good company. He was friendly with the first four disciples. Yet despite being brought up in a godly home and knowing the word of God, he, unlike John and Andrew, made no effort to seek the Savior. It seems that he was completely disinterested in the life and the ministry of the Savior. Yet despite the fact that he did not seek the Lord, we find the Lord here leaving the River Jordan, where he had been baptized, and coming into Galilee. In so doing, he had one purpose and one purpose alone, and that was to seek out Philip, and seeking him out to save him, and then to thrust him into his service. And although you, like Philip, may have no or little interest in the Lord, the Lord has an interest in you, and in mercy he is seeking you out. Indeed, explaining the purpose of his incarnation, the Lord said in Luke chapter 19 and the verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And in the parable of the lost sheep, we find the shepherd there leaving the 99 sheep to go out into the wilderness and there to seek out that sheep which was lost. And he kept on searching and searching until he found it. And although you may be far from the Lord, you are not far from the Savior. The Savior has you even in his mind. And in love, he is seeking you, not to destroy you, but he is seeking you in order to deliver you. Maybe you say this evening, "I have no thought of God." Neither had Philip. And yet we find the Lord here seeking him out. In fact, seeking you, the Lord Jesus Christ not only came into this world, but he took the sins of his people. And going to the cross, he laid down his life in order to save you. And although you may have had no thought of the Savior, and your heart is cold towards him, yet the Lord today is seeking you. He is seeking you. And I wonder, as the Lord draws near, as the Lord touches your heart, what will you do with him? My, will you embrace him as your Savior? Or will you harden your heart and turn away? And so I want to draw your attention this evening to this man, Philip. I want you to notice firstly here the seeking of Philip. In this chapter, the words seeking and finding are repeated over and over again. Having found Andrew and John, the Lord now seeking Philip, he returned to Galilee, entering into the streets of Bethsaida. You notice here the discovery of Philip, his journey not being in vain. We read in verse 43, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me." There are two types of finding. There is a casual stumbling upon something or someone by accident, and then there is a finding of something or someone as a result of a deliberate seeking. It is the latter which is spoken of here. In fact, the word findeth here means after searching. And rather than just stumbling upon Philip by accident, the Lord Jesus here had been seeking him. And seeking him, he came up into Galilee. You see, he knew exactly where Philip was. And while the Lord may often be out of your sight, you are never out of his sight. He knows exactly where you are, not only physically, but he knows where you are spiritually. Indeed, later, introducing his friend Nathanael to the Savior, we read there in verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. The leaves of the fig tree providing shelter. The fig tree was often a place of retreat. And although Nathanael thought that he was hidden by the leaves of this tree, the Lord Jesus Christ not only knew where he was, but from his reference to the ladder in verse 51, it seems that he also knew the exact scriptures that he had been reading. More than that, he saw his character. He said he was an Israelite without guile. And what we think and we do in private is not only witnessed by, but it's written down by the Savior. He beholds our lives in their every detail. Many years ago, there was a Roman by the name of Julian Drusus. He built a grand house on the top of a hill. Being exposed to the gaze of all that lived in that town, a builder one day came to him and he said, I will make your house more private if you pay me 5 talents. Julius responding, he said, I will give you 10 talents if you can make every room so open that all the city may behold in what manner I lead my life. And such is your life. It is open to the eyes of the Lord. If you've got an iPhone, now you can press a couple little buttons, and if you happen to lose your phone, you can go to your home computer, put in the details, and immediately you can find where your iPhone is. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? He knows all about you. He knows where you are. He knows your past. He knows your thoughts. He knows the life that you have been living. In fact, even at this very moment, he knows the thoughts that are passing through your mind. Maybe you think you're a closed book. And perhaps that is true in regard to family, in regard to friends. They are not able to ascertain your views. They can't figure you out. But the Lord knows you. He has seen your life. He knows your heart. He knows those thoughts that are going through your mind. He sees you this evening. Not only was there a discovering of Philip, but notice there was the dwelling of Philip. Giving us a little more detail, John tells us in verse 44, Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Bethsaida was a fishing town set on the shores of Galilee. It was not far from the city of Capernaum. Within its streets, the Lord Jesus Christ had performed many miracles. Amongst them, he had on one occasion healed a blind man. And pointing out in Matthew chapter 11 the privileges of this city, the Lord warned its inhabitants that because of its unbelief, it would in the day of judgment be more tolerable for wicked Tyre and Sidon than it would be for them. And as such, we see that this man, he was living in a city that was destined for destruction. And like Philip, without Christ, your future is not bright, but rather it is blighted. You are destined for destruction. Indeed, speaking to Nicodemus, the Lord said in John chapter 3, verse 18, He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You notice there the particular tense that the Lord Jesus uses. Not believing, they were already condemned. In fact, he said in verse 36 that the wrath of God was abiding on them. You see, you may physically sit in the sunshine, but spiritually, you are in the storm. The wrath and anger of a holy God already hangs over your soul. The German airship, the Heidenberg, after cruising the Atlantic, arrived in the United States of America on the 6th of May, 1937. With gigantic Nazi swastikas painted on its fins. Hundreds of people gathered to see that great airship. But as they stood gathered there watching, there was a spark. And in an instant, the Heidenberg went up in flames and was destroyed in a moment. And you see, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are, as it were, a passenger on the Heidenberg. You are heading to destruction. Yes, you may be full of laughter today. You may be smiling. You may imagine that your future is bright. But while you smile, you're heading even to destruction. The end of your sin is death, eternal death. Not only the dwelling of Philip, but we notice the demand on Philip. Seeking him out, we read in verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Coming up into this city, we find the Lord Jesus here singling out Philip. Underlying the words here, saith unto him. He was speaking here not to the crowds that had gathered, but he was speaking to Philip personally. Every word, every syllable was addressed to him. And you see, the call of the gospel is not only plain, but it is personal. It's directed to the individual. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the city of Jericho, he came to the foot of an old sycamore tree and lifting his eyes and looking up. We read in Luke 19, verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And you notice here that he called Zacchaeus by name. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the grave of Lazarus, he lifted his voice. And rather than crying out, come forth, because if he had done that, all the dead in the graveyard would have come forth. But rather he said, Lazarus, come forth. He called him by name. You see, as well as that universal call of the gospel, there is that personal call of the gospel. It is directed to the individual. You say, preacher, but how does God speak today? He speaks through his word. He speaks also through circumstances. Have you ever gone to a meeting and having gone into the meeting and taken your seat and looked around, you realize, I'm a stranger. I don't know an individual here. When the preacher's come into the pulpit, you've looked up and you said, I've never seen that man before. And yet when he begins to preach, you suddenly feel that he knows all about your life. You begin to feel that he's not talking to anyone else, but he's talking to you and to you alone. My friend, that is God speaking to you. He's saying to you, come. Come unto me. You see, in refusing the preacher, you are actually refusing the Lord. He is God's instrument. And now he's inviting you. He's saying to you, come. My friend, here's the marvel of the gospel. The Lord Jesus knew all about this man. He knew where he was. He knew his life. He knew his feelings. And yet, he still called him. And the Lord knows all about your life. He knows every transgression. He has marked every iniquity. And yet, coming personally, he says, come. Come to me. Oh, as you hear his voice, I trust that you will come. But not only do we notice here the seeking of Philip, but we see the saving of Philip. As well as seeking him, we're told in verse 43, the Lord found him. And finding him, he then urged him to follow him. In these words, you notice that there was a forsaking. Recording his location, the writer tells us in verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Beside it was also the hometown of Andrew and Philip, located on the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Its name literally means the house of fish or the house of fishermen. And although we're not directly told that Philip was a fisherman, it seems likely that he was a fisherman. And in following the Lord, James and John not only left behind their boat, but they left behind their business. And as such, in calling Philip to follow him, the Lord now was calling him not only to leave his career, but he was calling him here to leave his old way of life. He was demanding a forsaking of his old ways. A forsaking even of his old religion. You see, before there can be a following, there must be a forsaking. A willingness to rise up and to leave your sins and your own foolish notions. John the Baptist being arrested, he was cast into prison. Being locked in, we read in Matthew 4, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, where John left off, the Lord carried on. And carrying on, there was no change in his message. Lifting up his voice, he cried, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word repent here means to change one's mind. It implies a turning around. You see, before there can be an entering into salvation, there must be an exiting of your sin, a willingness in your heart to rise up and to turn away from it. In fact, the particular word follow here is in the continuous. In other words, there must be a willingness to leave your sin, not for a season, but forever. An old man on one occasion being asked, what is repentance? He said, it is the never again of an awakened soul. And if you're to be saved, there must be a willingness in your heart to leave your sin, not only today, and tomorrow, but every tomorrow, a willingness to be done with that life. Some are willing to leave their sin for a season, but they leave it with every intention of going back to it. But if you're to be saved, if you're to find the Savior, to know his peace, there needs to be a turning, that turning away from sin, a willingness to leave that old life. Oh, before false religion, before sin carries you away into destruction. Like Philip, will you not turn? Will you not leave your sin? Not only was there a forsaking, but you notice also there was a finding. Being converted, Philip, then seeking Nathanael, we read in verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. In the previous verse, we are told there that the Savior found Philip. However, in this verse, Philip recounting the incident, he tells us that he found the Savior. However, there is no contradiction. Why, the Lord did find him. Yet there was a time or a moment when Philip also found the Lord. A moment in time when he recognized the Savior, who was the one who had fulfilled the prophecies, and reaching out, he embraced him as a Savior. You see, as well as being found by Christ, there needs in your part to be a finding of Christ, a recognizing and a receiving of him. The Lord coming into Jericho, he found Zacchaeus up a tree. And speaking to him, we read in Luke 19, verse 6, and he, that Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Why, the Lord had found him there up the tree. Yet Zacchaeus still had to find the Lord. In recognizing who he was, we find him coming down and embracing him. The question is not so much, has Christ found you? But have you found Christ? Have you embraced him as your Savior? What was it that brought you to the meeting or caused you to tune in or to think about your soul? My friend, it was because the Lord found you. It's because the Lord has drawn near. It's because the Lord has begun to pull back the layers of your life and reveal to you your sin. But that's not enough. The Lord has found you, but if you're to be saved, if you're to be forgiven, you need to find the Savior. You need to reach out. You need to embrace him. You need to personally trust him as your Redeemer. As you sit here and as you listen, the Lord has found you. And the Lord has exposed your heart. But that's not enough. You need to find him. You need to reach out. You need to embrace him. Not only a forsaking and a finding, but there was a following. Verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me, as the sheep follow the shepherd, as the soldier follows the captain. So he was now to follow the Savior. Following, of course, requires submission of the will. And before salvation, there must be a surrendering, a leaving of the crown of our lives at his feet. I wonder, are you willing to submit? Are you willing to make him Lord? Are you willing to follow his directions? You know, all decisions really are made in an instant of time. And as Philip decided in that moment to follow the Savior, I wonder, will you follow him? Will you follow him? Will you leave your sin? And will you seek him? But finally, I want you to notice we have the speaking of Philip. Finding the Savior, he began then to tell what the Lord had done for him. You notice here that there was now a concern for his friends. Look at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You notice here that he didn't say, I have found him, but rather he said, we have found him. He includes himself here with Peter, James, and John. Not only was he now keeping the company of those other disciples, but he also had a concern for his friend. He wanted Nathanael also to know the pardon, the peace, the joy that he knew in his life. And you see, with conversion, there comes a change of company and a change of concern. The apostles, we find the disciples being arrested, Peter and John threw into prison. Eventually being released, we read, they went to their own company. And leaving prison, we find them seeking out the company of God's people. And you see, if only you come to Christ, he'll change you. He'll change your heart. He'll give you a desire to be in the house of God, to be with the people of God. He'll give you a burden for your family. He'll give you a burden for souls. You want them to see them saved as well. Just as Philip now had a burden for Nathanael, you'll have a burden for souls. There's also confessing of his faith, verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. He couldn't keep this news that he had found the Savior a secret. Going forth and telling Nathanael, now he told him all about the Savior. Conversion always leads to confession, a confessing of the Savior. Indeed, Andrew, finding the Savior, read there, verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. And finding the Savior, he couldn't keep the news to himself, but he ran out and he told his brother. You see, if you have trusted him, you shouldn't be a silent disciple. But like these individuals, you should be shouting disciples, telling others of the Savior. Do you know him? Then tell of him. If you come to him, I tell you there's such a change in your heart that you'll not be able to contain it. You'll have to tell others of this Redeemer that's changed you, saved you, and blessed you. There was also communing with his friend. Verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Telling Nathanael about the Savior all did not go smoothly. Nathanael objecting, he said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? But while there was opposition, nevertheless, following the Savior, he not only experienced his presence and experienced his power, but he experienced his provision. At the feeding of the 5,000, Philip learned how the Lord could supply. And while salvation may bring affliction, it brings many advantages. His blessings always outweigh the bufferings. And if only you come to him, if only you trust him, you will know his presence. You'll know his supply. He meet your every need. Here we find the Lord coming up. There was one man on his mind, it was Philip. And coming up, he found him. And then we find Philip finding the Savior. And maybe as you listen, you know the Savior has found you out. He's been speaking to your heart. If that's the case, then I urge you, like Philip, not to harden your heart, not to turn away, but to embrace him and trust him and know his grace and know his mercy. Oh, he's looking, disciples. Will you bow the knee and trust him, even now? Let us pray. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy love. We recognize, Lord, that we are on that road to destruction. We did not deserve thy mercy, but we thank thee that thou didst seek us out. And we thank thee for grace that enabled us to embrace thee. And we pray that even as thou dost come to individuals this evening, Lord, that they would not harden their hearts, but they would embrace thee and trust thee, and then go on to walk with thee and to serve thee. Take thy word, hide it in each and every heart. Let not the devil carry it away, but Lord, may it bring forth life abundant. For we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen.